want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Good Sunday evening, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. And as some people are saying, they're back. That's right. 2 weeks ago, we had some much-needed maintenance done on our satellite. Upgraded, running very functionally, terrifically, and the following week, yours truly was on vacation, and I promised my wife I wouldn't work too much. So I did three recent pre-records, got some good feedback on them, too, when there was some really good stuff, and it's still up there on the commonsenseshow.com if you want to catch it for the archives. But I'm back in the saddle, had interesting experiences at the beach. Someone tried to tow me out to sea. Little kid walked up to my wife, said, "How big will I get? Yeah, go by graveyard with my birthday coming up," and men start chasing me with shovels. Yeah, I'm going into the Hodges Fitness Protocol, and I'm going to enlist all my resources. Join me. Let's get healthier, America. And so that's going to be a priority of mine coming up here, and I'll update you as to my progress. Anyway, I'm really glad to be back in the saddle and being live with you. We have a terrific show for you this evening. We have Doug Hagman, who will be with us in just a few minutes. We have Stefan Verstappen, an author who asked the question, are psychopaths really running the world? And he's got some really, really good examples. We use that term pejoratively, but he uses it literally. And in the third hour, I did a recent pre-record with Bob Kudla, and there are some stunning turns taking place in the economy. I noted a couple of them this week. Bob's going to kind of give you the A to Z on this, and it's really a terrific interview. First of all, I just want to mention that we are brought to you by Renaissance Precious Metals. Don't let your cash rot away in your bank account. Why the bankers get to use your money at 9 to 10 times the value, fractional reserve banking. Why, what do you get, 0.2% on your accounts for interest? Don't do that. Convert it into gold, silver. Steve can do that for you, and if he can't help you, he'll tell you. Give Steve a call tomorrow, 406-586-4842. Again, that's 406-586-4842. And as you know, some people like to hide in the shadows, and they need to. They're close to retirement. People getting fired for their political views. Absolutely phenomenal why that's happening. No longer in America do you have a First Amendment. Well, there is a website for you. It's called BeCandid.com. And go to BeCandid.com and sign up and go join the Common Sense Show, and I get some good show ideas from there. And tell us what you know. And I'll tell you, I've gotten some pretty interesting military links in there about North Korea. Go there, be anonymous, becandid.com. Also, we're brought to you by readymaderesources.com. Got a lot of good feedback on Bob Griswold's appearance last week. And Bob has everything in prepper supplies that you want, from communication to water filtration, everything. Night vision, you name it, Bob has it. Go to readymaderesources.com, and you will get free consultation. Bob really takes his time with his customers, make sure that they have exactly what they need. That's readymaderesources.com. And then finally, what are you going to need to get through what's coming? Food, water, guns, gold, ammo, medicine, at minimum. And you can bet the economy is going to collapse at some point. I mean, when you got a 1.6 quadrillion credit swap derivatives debt, and we're taking in about $2 trillion a year, do the math. Do the math. Are you prepared? Well, we can help you with the food. Go to Numana.com/Hodges and find out why people say Numana is the very best durable food company in the world, best product, lowest prices, great quality, restaurant quality. That's Numana.com/Hodges. And for our listeners, 5% off with the coupon code Hodges, NOV5. And don't forget about our YouTube channel out there that's growing by leaps and bounds. And the more we grow, the more YouTube withholds the ads. But that's okay. We're going to keep bringing the news. And it's the Common Sense Show on the YouTube channel. Make sure that you get there. Well, I wrote a story, and I'm going to kind of throw it out here and then bring Doug in just a minute to comment on it. Wrote a story today that's going a lot more viral than I thought it would. And what I noted was effectively Trump outed Podesta at the G20. He's got G20 leaders asking, hell, why didn't Podesta bring in the FBI and the CIA to look at these hacked emails that went to, now we know they went to WikiLeaks courtesy of Seth Rich, who was murdered after Podesta said we need to take care of the leaker. 2 days later, he was dead. Why didn't they do that? And this is what all the G20 leaders are talking about. Trump reinforced it with a tweet, and Podesta went ballistic on a return tweet, and it really opened up a can of worms. And at the same time, and I don't believe in coincidences, not after doing this work for this long, German law enforcement busted the biggest child pedophile sex trafficking ring in the history of this planet. 87,000 participants on the dark net, and they made the announcement coincidentally during the G20 conference. That was no accident, and that was a big middle finger to Angela Merkel, who is no stranger to state-sanctioned criminality. And then we have the deep state retaliation. Ivanka Trump was she was the target of what I believe was an assassination. Now, the media is trying to pass it off as your typical lone nut assassin. You know, RFK, JFK, MLK, Ronald Reagan, all shot by lone nut assassins. Well, this guy had a bulletproof vest. He made a fake ID and was armed with knives because he was clearly planning on making a getaway. So this had to be a silent hit. That shows forethought, planning, cleverness. That's not your lone nut assassin. This was the deep state's retaliation against Trump's family for what's going on by exposing the pedophilia. I have no doubt in my mind. Check that story out after the show is over. Now, to the show itself, we're always privileged and pleased to have on one of the Hagmans almost every week, the Hagman and Hagman Report, for my money, right here on Global Star Radio Network. And it airs from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern. It is the best show in all radio. They have the best guests, best commentary. And tonight we're going to talk to one half of that contingent from the Doug and Joe Hagman Show. We have Doug Hagman joining us. Doug, thanks for being with us on this Sunday evening.
Well, Dave, thanks so much for having me, and I want to thank Global Star for carrying our broadcast as well. It's always good to be with you, and I look forward to our Sunday nights together. A lot to get into. A lot has happened. It seems like a month of news in a week's time, or yes, perhaps a year's worth of news in a week's time. Your article about the G20 summit, of course, in Hamburg, very interesting. I thought the CommonSenseShow.com folks, obviously you're listening to this, you know about it, but I thought it was pretty noteworthy in terms of how things are fitting together, especially the how things are overlapping. And I have often said, Dave, that I believe that the golden thread of the power elite, one of the golden threads, perhaps the golden thread, is the human and child sex trafficking. Maybe not for the all of the reasons or the specific reasons people believe, but Peter Thiel, for one, believes in, for example, it's my understanding, blood transfusions from younger children, of course, to prevent aging. And so all of this, or much of this, is for their own longevity, so to speak. And I think we have to look at it that way. But having said all of that, it's interesting how you connected some dots and how all of this overlaps. You've got elements of just about every specific scandal controversy, conspiracy tied in here in your latest article from Podesta, the DNC hack versus leak to the actual Podesta emails to pedophilia to, my goodness, everything. So in a limited number of words. So I thought it was a very good article, and a lot of information with respect to the DNC and Hillary Clinton. And by the way, I have to give you props. You were the you were ahead of Peter Schweitzer, who wrote the book about the Clinton Foundation with respect to the Clinton Uranium One deal, and I learned it from you first, and then of course I got additional information from that book. But great job on that as well. So,
well, Doug, I want to just correct one thing, because I want to give credit where credit's due, and I always like to give credit to the mainstream media because they're so truthful and honest. But actually, it was the New York Times that basically made this statement. They said, and I don't think they were counting on me coming in and taking this further, they said that Hillary Clinton, through Uranium One, was proffering deals of uranium sales to Russia like it was no big deal. And I'm thinking, what the hell? We executed Julius and Ethel Rosenberg in the 50s for selling nuclear secrets to the Russians. Now we're giving them the actual material. That's a very big deal. And this is what led me to find that while this was going on in its early stages, Bill Clinton was given a $500,000 speech opportunity in Moscow. The deal was proffered also in its final stages through HSBC Bank, and at that time, James Comey was on the board of directors in HSBC Bank, and the money got funneled into the Clinton Foundation. So that was my contribution. But had it not been for the New York Times' integrity and honesty, I never would have been on the story.
Very interesting.
Sorry, I say that tongue-in-cheek. You know that.
Well, yeah, of course. But you know, you mentioned James Comey. You've got now the existence of this independent investigative office, which, of course, is not like, and quite frankly, not too much unlike the special prosecutor law office under the special prosecutor law. But having said that, you've got this kind of a tightly knit group of people, Mueller at the head of this, but very close, of course, pals with Mueller is James Comey, and of course McCabe, who's head of the FBI currently. He himself is under three active investigations, but all three are swamp lawyers. They're obstruction. Their whole purpose for existence is conducting obfuscation for the Hillary crimes, and it's interesting because when you look at the relationships between Mueller, who heads up the independent counsel, Comey, the former FBI director, McCabe, the current FBI director. McCabe, by the way, negotiated allegedly payment for the Trump dossier that was created or secured by Fusion GPS. And, you know, Fusion GPS, people are going to be hearing more and more about this, about Fusion GPS, because they're going to figure prominently into what's taking place. This week you're going to be hearing about this clandestine meeting, or this meeting that took place. And I think it's going to be peddled pretty heavily by the mainstream media. This meeting that took place on June 9th of 2016 at Trump Tower. Now, Circa News, Sarah Carter, reported on this earlier, I think it might have been yesterday or perhaps Friday, where Donald Trump Jr. was approached by a Russian lawyer, and a meeting was scheduled at Trump Tower between Donald Trump Jr., Jared Kushner, and at the time, campaign director Paul Manafort. And they met with this Russian attorney, Natalin, I can't pronounce the last name, it starts with a V. I believe it's Veselnitskaya. That's the best I'm going to do.
I won't even try it.
Yeah, it was a very short meeting. Bottom line, the topic, again, the pretext of this meeting was, hey, we have some information about Hillary Clinton for you. Well, that never came to pass. It was, again, a very short meeting. Donald Trump, the president, Donald Trump, did not know about it, was not invited, did not appear, and it was kind of a non-issue. But among the topics that were broached at that time, or one of the topics that was broached at the time, and this is kind of at the periphery of this meeting, is something called the Magnitsky Act, which is something that is despised by President Vladimir Putin. This this act is named after a Russian lawyer who ultimately was tortured and killed, but this has to do with the blocking of adoption of Russian children by United States citizens. But having said all of that, that's kind of peripheral. That's kind of pocket letter background, I should say, for this meeting. But the setup was by Fusion GPS as well. All right, so Fusion GPS has been popping up everywhere I turn in my investigations. Fusion GPS has been popping up. They began, and I think it's important for people to understand, they began their investigation into President Donald Trump back in September of 2015. Initially, they were hired by an anti-Trump Republican donor with ties directly to George H.W. and George W. Bush and Jeb Bush, the whole Bush family. Well, that relationship, I'm not going to say soured, but changed. Fusion GPS kind of just kind of hung out there for a while, and was picked up by a political operative / opposition research group. I have my suspicions. I don't have any verification, but I would say, you don't have to look too far outside the beltway. And talking about, what media matters, for example, what matters in media. Okay, hint, hint. But anyway, now people have to understand as well. Fusion GPS was hired in 2015 by Planned Parenthood to get the dirt on the Center for Medical Progress. The co-founder of Fusion GPS was head of opposition research for a former Clinton White House operative, or was a research operative for the former Clinton White House, I should say. That would be Glenn Simpson. And I'm looking at my notes here, which I have copious notes on all of this. The use of opposition research is really tied directly to the Clintons, the Clinton Foundation, and people like David Brock. And of course, we have what we're seeing is the fruits of this opposition research, which, by the way, going back to your article now, it's interesting how this all ties together. When we start putting everything on the table here, I'm trying to get to your article here about that you wrote. As I do this, okay, Podesta kind of figures in, and the DNC. Podesta, of course, is wait a minute. You wrote that, and I quote, in a tweet, President Trump noted that John Podesta refused to give the hacked DNC server to the FBI and the CIA. Well, it was the FBI specifically. Comey, I do suspect, made an attempt to get it, but a half-hearted attempt, knowing that CrowdStrike, which people have to understand what CrowdStrike is, that's a private firm headed by a former CIA operative officer, CrowdStrike. They, as a matter of fact, CrowdStrike was the one that had possession of, or control, I should say, of the DNC server. Now, if people do read your article, and I do suggest they do, about this one part of your article, you mentioned Podesta, but I also think CrowdStrike here is important to bring up in the context of Podesta, as you've written, because CrowdStrike, I should note a couple of things about CrowdStrike. Obama appointed a CrowdStrike officer to an administrative post just 2 months before the June 2016 report on the Russian hacking DNC servers. Okay, so it was April 2016. That was before the June report that alleged a Russian conspiracy, that Barack Obama appointed Stephen Chbosky, who was a general counsel and chief risk officer for CrowdStrike, to the Commission on Enhancing National Cybersecurity. So CrowdStrike plays an important role in this. The FBI, as you had pointed out, never looked at the DNC servers. Only CrowdStrike did. And to my knowledge, and as best I can tell, Dave, these servers continue to sit in a basement at the DNC headquarters in Washington, D.C. Now, by the way, Comey also contradicted the DNC story on the FBI asking to see the server. I did mention that earlier, but I should say that the DNC claimed in January that the reason the FBI never examined their hack server was simply the FBI never requested to do so. But then we saw Comey did ask, yet the DNC Deputy Communications Director Eric Walker told various news outlets that the DNC had several meetings with representatives of the FBI's cyber division in D.C., but they never asked for the server, never requested access to the DNC computer servers. So there's very confusing, twisted misinformation out there that the mainstream media, the corporate media, is pushing but not attempting to rectify. And you point this out very well, that President Trump, instead of being stuck in the morass of the mainstream media, doesn't end around, sends out a tweet and says, hey, you know, it's incredible that they refuse to give up the server to the FBI. So, and also that everyone at the G20 summit was talking about this. Isn't it great how Twitter is working and how President Trump is able to circumvent the media on this? Because I think this is key.
I think it is. I would also add to the scandal, and God, the guy's name's jumped out of my head, Doug, the federal DA, assistant federal attorney, in Deborah Wasserman Schultz, former head of the DNC. His head was bashed in, and what was he looking at during this time frame? The same things we're talking about, DNC voter fraud with regard to the primary election, and his head's bashed in. And we see the Seth Rich murder. I mean, there's so much periphery in this whole scenario here. I mean, you could fill a library with all the intrigue that's going on. But, you know, I think the foreign leaders are raising a good question at the G20, prompted by Trump. Why didn't they turn this over to the FBI? Because I say they have a lot to hide.
Exactly. And just to be clear, you're talking about the very well-respected federal prosecutor in Hollywood, Florida, Barrington Wisenant,
yes,
Jr.
That's it.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right. Yeah, and he was in Debbie Wasserman Schultz's district, and he was one of three suspicious deaths that also include Seth Rich, which, by the way, you had mentioned in your article as well. So again, all of the dots are starting to connect very, very interestingly, and I think that we're very close to seeing some things take place, that some revelations take place here in the next couple of weeks that I think will be very detrimental to the not just the DNC but to the Clinton/Obama regime. Now, that's if they are allowed to, if the Department of Justice is allowed to, or how do you even say that, allowed to, or if they opt to pursue these leads, because there are so many leads here. I can't imagine Jeff Sessions or the Department of Justice not taking a look at this, not taking a very close look at all of this. And as I've got it, by the way, I did speak with a source within the Beltway close to Everything that's taking place right now, that we are seeing movement in a number of areas. That is one of the areas, along with the pedophilia, and we are going to be seeing some very interesting takedowns of some pedophiles here in the United States that may appear at first to be, somewhat unremarkable. But as the layers of contacts are peeled back, you're going to see some, it's my understanding, you're going to see some connections to the D.C. Hollywood child sex rat line, if you will. So, just saying.
I think you're right, but you know what I'm also getting? I established some contacts during the Jerry Sandusky deal, and I said all along, when Ray Greikar, the district attorney for Center County, was murdered, when he was the first one to look into Sandusky. And how do we know he's murdered? He was declared dead by the FBI because he went missing. And they found his laptop in a creek with unretrievable data. And I established some contacts there in the media. And it's just kind of like this Fox News people who occasionally come out of the woodwork and give me stuff because they can't print this stuff. And what I was told was the Sandusky deal was just the tip of the iceberg. And what's happened since then? The president of Penn State went down. Sandusky's son went down. But I'm told the governor's office in Pennsylvania at the time, those people are in trouble. This reaches into Congress. I've been told that. And I've been told this is where the pedophilia investigation by Sessions is actually going. Do you have any information on that?
Yeah, and I don't think I'd be talking out of school if I said this. Russ Dizdar, who has a show on the Global Star Radio Network daily, ShatterTheDarkness.net. Yeah. I can say this. I know he is working on the Sandusky case, and has asked me to assist, and we are together working on some elements of the Sandusky case that point exactly to where you are saying they point. And this is deep, it's dark, it's ugly, it's dank, and it's horrid. This involves, as you indicated, this involves people, highly placed people. And one of the people is the former Attorney General of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, a Democrat, by the way, Kathleen Kane, who was removed from office amid a scandal. However, when you look a little bit deeper, you might see some things that relate to the Sandusky investigation, where she was pushing, and of course, perhaps pushed too hard. And she is one individual that I hope you'll be talking with soon.
So you think she'll do a pushback? Is that what you're counting on?
Well, I have no way of knowing at this point. I have not been able to enact contact with her. And by the way, if anyone is listening and they know her, because I'm in Pennsylvania, she's in Pennsylvania, I certainly would be appreciative of some sort of arranging contact, because I do want to speak with her. I will ultimately speak with her, but the sooner the better, because I do think she's got some information that relates directly to this. But your source and the fruits of the investigation Russ Dizdar has really superintended, and we've just assisted, and we're doing our best to help him as well. It's all saying the same thing. It's all pointing to the same thing. It's all the information is.
My main source is media related, and they want to keep their job. So I promised to pair it in ways that would not implicate them, and I went after the Second Mile. Because their conclusion was there's no way that many people in the Second Mile Foundation that Sandusky was a part of, you know, the 1,000 points of lights that George H.W. Bush pointed at them and said, oh, you guys are wonderful. The feeling was that these guys were also involved. It wasn't just Sandusky partaking and organizing. He had help from some of the people, and I've published their names in past articles. But let me tell you where the main information came from. One of the many parents who came out when their sons went away to Penn State football camps in Sandusky, made it a habit of sodomizing these children in the shower. And I'm sorry for being graphic, but this is what it is. The mom contacted Ray Greikar, among many moms, and he first wouldn't take the case. And one of the moms told me that after Greikar was disappeared and presumably murdered and declared dead, that she received an anonymous phone call that said, "You'll be next and so will your kid. Shut the blank up." And I understand there have been other threats to parents who came out in the pre-Sandusky scandal that we all know of from the media. I mean, it was really bad, and I can't say a whole lot more about the details without implicating the people who gave me this information, and I'm going to protect these sources, but Doug, it's as bad as anything that's out there. Also, too, I want to bring in one other thing to this. I'm over in California for vacation. You know, there's an old saying, good place to visit, horrible place to live. And we have relatives, and God, I feel sorry for them because they're such good people. But I hate California's government with a passion. I hate their regulations. But listen to this. There is a Senate bill that was making its way through the state legislature. SB 272, I believe it is. 272 or 273.
Yep.
And the bill was to prevent an adult from marrying a child of any age and no limitation on sexual activity.
Correct.
And the bill has been so attacked by the ACLU, Planned Parenthood, and NAMBLA's representatives, people who work for Soros. Remember, Soros gave millions to NAMBLA several years ago. These people have perverted the bill so much, there's no age restriction now. And I heard the bill reported on local media in San Diego, where we were staying up in North County. And I decided, let me do a little bit of research here. And, of course, the mainstream media didn't tell the entire truth. This is when I found the fact that all these special interests are trying to make this happen. California is trying to become the first state to legalize pedophilia. Our worst fears are being realized, Doug.
Well, people laughed at you and me and others when we said that back in June 2015, when we said that the Obergefell decision by the Supreme Court, if they, quote, legalize, and we know they can't legalize the same-sex marriage, and we know that's they don't make law, they just interpret law. And however, people still want to call same-sex marriage a law of the land. People laughed at you and I and others when we said, look, this is going to lead to polygamous marriages, the approval of marriages to inanimate objects and to gender reassignment and some, you know, just all kinds of weird things. Now we see this take place in California, amongst other things. And as I mentioned earlier, and I want to bring this up and drive this home, you had mentioned the ACLU as lobbying against this bill in Planned Parenthood. Well, again, Planned Parenthood lobbying against this bill. They filed an amicus brief, I believe, for Obergefell. But most importantly, Planned Parenthood also hired Fusion GPS. Again, there's that company to investigate Trump, but also to go after the Center for Medical Progress. Now, they're also, of course, lobbying the lawmakers in California against this age-restrictive bill. So there you have it. And it's the same actors, the same people, follow the money, follow the influence. And you nailed it with many of the facts here in this article. And I think that we have to really we don't have enough crime scene. I'll tell you what. Anyone listening to this show, we need more crime scene tape, okay? Because we need to wrap around the various capitals, including the U.S. Capitol and of course the one in Sacramento and Planned Parenthood and such. But nonetheless, of course I'm being funny. But this whole thing is a, in my view anyway, they are fast tracking this Caligula-style agenda in order to take down the West. And I think this is the bigger picture, Dave, in my view. Take a few steps back. What's the ultimate objective here?
to destroy national sovereignty of Western democracies?
Well, right. They want to take a big eraser to our culture, to our heritage, to our Judeo-Christian way of life. And believe it or not, they're working with the Muslims, which is just incredible. But once they're done, the Muslims are either going to kill them or they're going to kill the Muslims. You know, it would be because they're incompatible. But all of these unholy alliances are forming right now, and the ultimate objective here is to destroy the very country in which we live, and that's the bigger objective. That's the bigger agenda. This is what we should be understanding, because if everyone understood this, we'd all at least be. Most of us, anyway, be on the same page, except those who hate our country with a passion. They're from our ideologies to our Christian heritage. But having said that, that's what I believe we're at.
That's about 20% of our country by my estimate. But you're right. I write about this a lot, Doug, and sometimes I think I'm talking to the wall, except in a few cases like our listening audience here. They get it. But I will tell you, I have talked extensively about the flip-flop that Renzi's doing in Italy, and how the Muslims were being nudged towards the northern border, and Austria said no and hell no, and put their military on the border. Sweden is headed towards civil war. The German citizens' constitution is gone in the same fashion that Hitler destroyed it when he brought in his Nazism, his fascism. Well, this is what's being done in Germany, as they're taking away property from German citizens and giving it to Muslim immigrants. They're trying to promote controversy. The idea is to have widespread violence. But, Doug, I'm going to make a prediction. Once the Western democracies, if the goal is achieved, once their culture is eviscerated, we're going to see the New World Order slip in, the deep state of all these countries. And there's going to be a backlash with the people who have survived the war, the Civil War, and they're going to treat these Muslims like Hitler did the brown shirts. They're going to exterminate them. So the Muslims that think that the jihad that they're doing against the West is so wonderful, most of them aren't going to live to enjoy the fruits. We're looking at Nazism being revisited again in the modern world. At least that's my take.
You know, and Dave, you're exactly right. And for those people listening to this program in the United States, how close is this? Well, Leo Homan, we had him on our show. He's a good friend of our program, a good friend of mine, and in fact, he's going to be on our show here again here next week or two. But he wrote an article. I think it was it might have been posted today. Just to tell you how close this is to the United States of America, Canada right now is fining their citizens for offending people of the Islamic faith. A 53-year-old guy, a landlord by the name of John Allaby. He's a Christian. He's a landlord. He lives in Toronto. I don't know how many people heard about this, but he's being ordered to pay a $12,000 fine by the Ontario Human Rights Tribunal because he failed to remove his shoes when he entered the house he owns, which was being rented to a Muslim couple, and didn't take off his shoes. I mean, are you kidding me? And his crime? Religious discrimination, according to this Ontario Human Rights Tribunal. Mm-hmm. $12,000. The guy says, look, I'm broken. I can't pay it. There's no way I can do it. And he did everything by the book. His tenants asked him not to come while they're praying, to text first. He did that. But when the couple stopped answering his text messages, he showed the apartment. He kept his shoes on in his own property, and now he was being fined. Oh, by the way, the Muslim tenants, they waited 8 months before filing their grievance. And they receive, by the way, free representation, legal representation. You can find this on WND as well by Leo Homan. I think the Toronto Sun might have reported on this. But the tribunal agreed that he harassed this couple and failed in his duty to accommodate their religious needs and awarded them $6,000 a pop plus interest. Now, that's coming to the United States if if people that are listening to this don't wake up. And by, well, mm-hmm. And you know, and I'm going to tell you something else. Okay, this to me, this is a lawfare. Do you agree, Dave? I mean,
I totally agree, because what we're seeing now are arguments appearing. We never have seen this before. Religious superiority arguments over the Constitution. And now we're seeing for the first time advocates of the Islamic faith proposing that Sharia law is the dominant law of the land, and they're not going to rest until it is, and the Constitution will mean nothing. This is when I came up with the phrase I said in writing 4 years ago: you have the right to practice Sharia law on your own, but your rights, my Muslim friends, stop where my constitutionally protected nose begins. But Doug, it's not going to stay that way, because we're seeing a Muslim who is pro-Sharia law running for the governorship in Michigan. We're seeing Muslims assume political positions all over the country who aren't there to defend the Constitution. They're there to defend Sharia law.
There's no such thing as a politician or an elected official who is Muslim. They cannot legitimately swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States based on their religious the tenets of Islam, and that's directly from the Quran, the Hadith, and the Surah. I mean, those aren't my rules. That's the rules of Islam. So you're exactly right. So you've got Keith Ellison, for example, now serving in our Congress. You've got his name escapes me. The other guy, Andre Carson, serving. You've got multiple people throughout the appointed positions within DHS and other intelligence agencies. You had John Brennan, who reportedly, according to John Guandolo from the FBI, converted to Islam when he was a station chief in Saudi Arabia. And all of this is moving toward this Muslim bias to eradicate the Judeo-Christian heritage of the United States. So all of this together, you're exactly right. And what fits into this as well, and I think people are losing sight of this because of the news cycle moves so quickly. Remember last year, the meme or the phrase fake news, that was named the meme of the year last year. I believe it was by Time or by Oxford, and the other one was Post Truth. And I could have that backwards, but nonetheless, Post Truth and fake news. What's taking place right now? And I can basically close with this, Dave, because I know we're running out of time. It's that people have to realize, and I hope that they do, that even though it would appear that places like CNN, which we didn't even get to very much, CNN, they're on the ropes, and MSNBC, all of these other networks are on the ropes, seemingly, as fake news. They're not being regarded as such. New York Times, The Washington Post. What's taking place right now is people like the Commons, like Dave Hodges and the Common Sense Show, and Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman, the Hagman Report, and other programs like ours, we are being subjected to incredible harassment, personal and professional, lawfare, lawsuits, threat of lawsuits, sponsorship harassment, you name it. But there is a huge push to shut this network of broadcasters down. And folks, let me tell you something. Dave Hodges fights it every single day. I fight it every day. And quite frankly, people like Steve Quayle fight it every day. As a matter of fact, Steve Quayle and I, hey, we are co-defendants in a multi-million dollar lawsuit that's been a year and a half old that we've personally spent on lawyers' fees, $40,000 each, okay, which is it's a BS suit in my view. I can't talk about it in as much as I can say, but people better understand this is real, and it's happening right now, and the objective is to shut us up, to stuff a sock in our mouth, and if that doesn't work, sue us into oblivion, and if that doesn't work, who knows, kill us. But the bottom line here,
Doug, Trump's outing of Podesta at the G20 and drawing the attention of the G20 leadership and them asking really good questions that are embarrassing to the DNC, and then we have the deep state retaliate with what appears to be an attempt on the life of Ivanka Trump. If they'll do that, if they'll send a man in a bulletproof vest with knives and a fake ID to the Trump Towers, what will they do to you and I and everybody listening? See, the FEMA camps are for the people listening. FEMA camps are for you and me, too. That's what they're built for. They were originally built to house an influx and an overflow of illegal aliens. Well, I submit we've already gone through that, and not one of them is in there, so who are they really for?
Exactly.
You and me and everybody listening, Doug. And this is why people need to look at this. This should be a wake-up call. This should be a clarion call. Your nation is under attack from within. You have 80 Democratic congressmen and congresswomen and senators who belong to front groups for the American Communist Party and for the Muslim Brotherhood front groups. And if you don't believe me, get the video, Enemies Within by Trevor Loudon, and look at what he says. He leaves nothing to chance. It's all proven, Doug. It's right there. We're being subverted right into the halls of Congress with blatant treason. Obama was a traitor, which we pointed out multiple times. Hillary Clinton's a traitor, which we pointed out multiple times. We are in a full-fledged war right now.
And I do predict this. You're going to see Hillary Clinton make a resurgence for the midterms. She's not going to come back for any office.
I just did a podcast on it that's coming out late tonight.
Oh, really?
Okay. That's why I'm chuckling. Yeah. Word for word. Yeah, she is. But I will tell you this. I'm being told by a lot of people the Democrat candidates are going to run from her because she's so hated.
And I'm getting the same information. No one wants to, you know, hitch their wagon to that horse, literally.
And you did say horse, correct?
Yes, and I stopped there. However, it's coming. And the other part of this too, has anyone noticed or commented on the fact that Obama is either shadowing or ahead of President Donald Trump at these various meetings of these of world leaders, whether it's Europe, Asia, or even in Canada? He's either a step behind or a step ahead of Donald Trump, acting as if he is still running the country. So there is a shadow government that is very active, that is totally antithetical to what President Donald Trump is attempting to do. And it's being headed, in this case, by Barack Hussein Obama, who the mainstream media is still in love with, and they believe, in some twisted, convoluted sort of way, that he's still the commander-in-chief, I believe. But watch that very carefully as well.
Well, you're absolutely right. Trump should be bringing Obama up on charges for violating the Logan Act. In fact, Ambassador Larry Palmer tried to do that with someone we both know, Monica Wazalowski, when she had Trump's picture on her workplace desk after the election, and people still had Obama up after the inauguration. Didn't matter. They tried to get her fired and jailed on the Logan Act, and here we have Obama preceding Trump talking to foreign leaders without justification. He should be in prison, right? He should be under indictment right now.
I 100% agree with you on this. What kind of weight does he hold? He really doesn't have any, at least not visible.
He does. It's called the deep state weight.
Well,
President Duterte spoke about this, Doug. This is really, really critical. Duterte, when he came to Washington and met with Trump, and looks like he got classified information on child sex traffickers in his own country, and he goes home and busts 3,000 online traffickers the first day, he said later, with regard to him butting up to China, he'd like to have a closer relationship with the United States, but Trump is not in charge of his own government. He proclaimed it.
Okay.
Now, where would he get that information? I'm sure Trump told him. There's things I can't do, but please, let's work on our differences. And he's saying, I got to deal with the guy making the decisions. Doug, you're right on the money. The deep state is everyone's in this country. Everyone, every man, woman, child, pet, everyone. And I mean Democrats who think that fascism is a good idea. The deep state will lead you to death and destruction no matter what your political or religious affiliations are.
You know, Paul Joseph Watson just released a video of Antifa, the anti-fascist movement, quoting Hitler. You talk about a twisted ideology, quoting Hitler at one of their rallies. So, yeah, this whole thing is going to turn out badly. But you can see how uneducated the bulk of the people are in this country. Not the present company excluded, the listeners excluded to this program. But there's a really deep. This absence of knowledge, which of course goes back to Common Core, and it goes back to the, you know, who wrote the history books and how we've been taught history. But all that aside, the ideological chasm that exists is growing wider, as is the racial divide and the various other divides, and they're being exploited by these various groups that are being superintended by people like Obama and the NGOs, and being fueled by the opposition research groups such as Fusion GPS, and various other, and David Brock Media Matters for America, and other such organizations. So we have to be on guard for all of this. And if I can just say one last thing, Dave, everyone listening to this, because we are fighting a numbers game, because we are in the thick of battle, one thing that I've noticed taking place, the numbers for our respective YouTube channels, our respective social networking channels, are being munged. They're being played with. People are being
yes.
So please, if you're listening to this, please subscribe to the Common Sense Show, the YouTube channel there. Subscribe to anything you can with respect to the Common Sense Show, the Hagmann Report, our social networking, our YouTube channels, because we need to raise the visibility of our platforms on the metrics with respect to the search results. And the only way we can do that to win with the numbers is get the numbers and beat them, or at least stay ahead of them as they take subscribers and followers off. And hopefully that was okay for me to say, Dave. I didn't mean
no,
that.
No, they are doing that. I've said the same thing. I'm getting the same amount, even more views than I've ever gotten, but my subscription rate is growing at a snail's pace, so that's not an accident. I want to mention to everybody, Doug Hagmann has a great new book out called Stained by Blood. It's available on his website, HagmannHagmannReport.com. It's also on TheCommonSenseShow.com. You can link in. Doug, is it available on Amazon? I forgot.
Yeah, it's on Amazon in both the Kindle and hard copy version. And if you go to stainedbyblood.com, look on the top right there. Just fill out the form, and I'll send you a signed copy. I was going to say seal it with a kiss, but maybe not.
Yeah, people want to seal us with a kiss of death. Doug, we got to go.
Yeah,
coming up against top of the hour. Great, great stuff as usual. Doug Hagmann and his son Joe air right here on the Global Star Radio Network from 7 to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday. If you haven't checked out the show, you need to. It is awesome. Doug, thanks so much.
Thanks, my brother.